Shara Bitochon Lady Shir. Shara Bitochon Lady Shir on Sunday. Shir number 19. Sunday, Parshas Matos Masei. It's Chaf Hei Tammuz, Nechemya's birthday, and July 12th. Shir 19. Shara Bitochon. Okay, we're in Chavis Halvodah, Shara Bitochon, Perek Gimel. And we just learned about the inyan, the fifth of the prerequisites, and that is the idea of hishtadlus. And he said, listen, you know, a person's hungry, and Hashem was mazman him a piece of bread and food, but he still has to pick it up and put it in his mouth and swallow and chew it and swallow it. And then let's say he doesn't have bread, he has to go to the store and buy it. And let's say he doesn't have money, he has to go to work and earn it. And this is the way Hashem made the world. From Sheishas Yemei Breishis, there are channels through which Hashem's Gezeira is channeled. And man, many times, or most of the time, or the norm is that man has to create those channels. And if you don't create the channels, you're not doing the Ratzon Hashem. And that's not a good position to be in. According to the Chavis Halvodos, the mechanics of, let's say, not being matzliach, if you don't do the proper hishtadlus, so we think, oh, it's because he didn't take care of things. In a sense, that's true, but in a sense, it's not true. Hashem's gezeira is going to happen no matter what. And if there's a gezeira, sometimes things can happen without a shtadlus. Someone can get rich if they inherit a lot of money, or they win the lottery. They didn't do hishtadlus, proper hishtadlus. A person could become better, even if he didn't properly take care of himself. It could happen. That's a gezeira. But the norm is that you have to do hishtadlus, and if you don't do hishtadlus, you suffer the consequences of not doing the Ratzon Hashem. That's the Nakuda. It's not because you indeed create the result. This is what you have to wrap your mind around, and you have to believe, and that's part of understanding Bitachon. The result did not get produced directly because you didn't produce it, because you never produce it. It's Hashem that produces it through his Gezeira. But Hashem set up a system that he wants you to create the channels through which it comes. And if you didn't create the channels, it's not going to come, but not because you're in charge, but because you violated the will of Hashem, and Hashem wants it to come through the channels that you created, and you didn't create those channels, so it's not going to happen. He'll elaborate upon this more in Perek Daled when he talks about a person committing suicide. Always a cheerful topic. But it's only a small jump from committing suicide to not taking care of your health. Right? And he elaborates on this idea that you suffer the consequences of improper hishtadlus. He elaborates upon that in Perek Daled. What we have to understand now is that it's not because Hashem put me in charge of producing the result. That is not the beer of hishtadlus. It's not like that. It's Hashem wants me to create the channels through which his gezeira is usually channeled, but it's always his gezeira that's producing the result. And sometimes the result will be produced even if you didn't create the channels. That's up to Hashem. We're not privy to Hashem's cheshbonus. Right? If you refuse to pick up the piece of bread and eat it, if Hashem wants you to survive and not starve to death, he'll have someone walk into the room and force feed you. That's all. If they see you're not eating, they'll force feed you. Hashem will make that person enter. But the norm is ishtadlus, and he proves ishtadlus from everyday life. You're not going to have food in your pantry if you don't buy it. You're not going to have money if you don't produce money, if you don't work and produce money. Then you have to go to the store and you have to buy it. Then you have to put it on the table. Then you have to pick it up and put it in your mouth, etc. Now he says two reasons. For Ilah Sher Ba'avura Chiyav Aborias Adam Lachzor Lusabiv Al Sibus HaTerif V'Sh'or Mashu Tzorach Eilav L'Shnei Ponim.
He's asking, because the clear havana, understanding of what we call hishtadlus, he never calls it that, but we'll call it that because that's the term that's normally used nowadays. The clear understanding is we're not producing the result any more than if we don't do hishtadlus. It's all gzeiras Hashem. At most, we're creating the channels. Now, why did Hashem? Wouldn't it be easier? Wouldn't life be simpler if Hashem's gezeira just happened, whether we have or we don't have? I'm supposed to earn a certain amount of money this year. Why does Hashem want me to do hishtadlus in order to earn it? Why? What's wrong if I stay in bed with a good book, a box of chocolates, and I'll get whatever money I'm supposed to have? Because that's what's happening anyway. That's the nekuda. The question is much sharper than you realize. We're not bothered by this question because we always have this idea, this vague idea that we're producing the results. You say, what are you nuts? If you stay in bed, how are you going to earn money? But that's not true. And that's why the Chavir Lubavitch asks this very valid question. Because we're only going through the motions. It's a game. It's an illusion that we're producing the result. So why did Hashem do that to us? So he says there are two specific reasons he gives. Number one, Echad Mehem, Mitnei Shechiva HaChochma B'chinas HaNefesh B'Avodos HaLakim U'Vamroso. Because the way the world is structured, the tachlis of the world, is that the nefesh is constantly being tested if it's going to be Oved Hashem or not. Bochan also b'meshemara zemimena. So the testing, the playing field of Bechira is usually hishtadlus. Are you going to be honest? Are you going to talk Lashon Hara? Are you going to violate your principles? Are you going to talk about business on Shabbos? Are you going to be in a workplace where the atmosphere is inappropriate? Are you going to cut corners in honesty? This is where, I mean, again, because I love this, almost completely throughout the Sefer, uses Parnosa and money as his examples of being involved in Olam Hazeh. But it could be anything. It could be health, and it could be relationships, and it could be Shiduchim, and it could be marriage. It could be any relationship, anything in Olam Hazeh. You have a neighbor that drives you crazy. It's Gzeiras Hashem. You have to not talk Lashon Hara about that neighbor. You have to make a hishtadlus to be Rov Dev Shalom. Yeah, Shalom, Rov Dev Shalom. You have to do, sometimes you have to take the neighbor to Beis Din. Sometimes, well, at least you're allowed to take them to Beis Din. Certainly, you're allowed to if you have a case, or if you think you have a case, you're allowed to. No, that's all, it's always, but he talks about money mostly, because that probably consumes Be'ezus Hashem, we shouldn't have health problems. So that consumes 90% of our Olam Hazeh lives. Running after Parnosa, making ends meet, getting beged lechem lechol, beged lilbosh, a roof over our heads, whether it's a mortgage or rent, or paying for what the children need, paying for what we need, paying for what the house needs. It's never ending. So that's our involvement. But it's all how much money I'm going to earn this year as Me'ez Hashem. And we do hishtadlus because reason number one is that's the, right? Basketball has a playing field, soccer has a playing field, baseball has a playing field, Bechira has a playing field. The playing field of Bechira is hishtadlus. How are you going to act when you go out there? If you stay in bed and eat chocolates, we just have to worry about if you're going to make a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona, and if you're eating candy with a heksher. That's all. But you go out there, and we all know you're out there and you're earning money, or you're shopping, or you're doing all the hishtadlus you have to do. This is where life intrudes, and it says you have to make choices. You have nisyonos, you have bechira. So that's reason number one. That is the playing field of bechira. Fu atzorech v'hachisaron el meshehu chutzlo. Hashem created that we have to do something Mimachal, Umishta, Umalbush, Umaon, and a place to live, Umishkol, and being married. Siva Osum Lachzor Aleihem. So Hashem said, go after it. Do something. Lahaviyam, Besibos Hamuchonos Lahem, Alponim Yuchadim. Meaning, what's mutter? I am telling you, yes, you have to make a hishtadlus and earn money, but you have to do it honestly. Alponim Yuchadim. They can't do it on Shabbos. You have to do it honestly. Yes, you have to dress nicely. Right? You have to be presentable. You can't wear shatnez. Chveis, layubash, give us some... whatever's involved. There's always the lavim are giving us the rules of life. The itim yuduos. Not Shabbos, not Yontiv. Right? Umasha gozer habore. But it's not... Again, we can easily, and we do, easily fall into the trap of thinking that we're producing the result. No. What is a gzera that you will earn X amount of money, you will be healthy, you will have this relationship, this shidduch will happen. Yugmar v'yushlam, it will happen. V'hashlomas hizdamnus hasibos. Because Hashem wants you to do hishtadlus. So your hishtadlus will produce the channel through which the gezeira will be channeled and will happen. That's what he said in the beginning of this, of number five, prerequisite, that ever since after Sheshesh Yimei Breishis, there's no more Yehi Or Vayehi Or. No more. There's no Yehi Money Vayehi Money. You have to do something. Sometimes if you're lucky, you'll get a Yerusha and you didn't do anything. Yeah, that can happen. But it's always like that. It's always the Gzeiros Hashem that's giving you the money, but Hashem insists that you have to Hashlomus Hizdamlus Hasibos. That's his word for Hishtadlus, is being Misaseg or being Mashlim the Sibos. You have to produce the things that through which Hashem sends the result. What's not going to happen? Not going to earn this money. Not going to do this shidduch. You're not going to have this relationship. Health, lo yugmar. Not going to happen. No matter what you do, you can stand on your head. It's not going to happen. The yimdu mimenu asibos. When it's baru mimenu, and in this way, it will be clarified, ha'avoda v'ha'avera. This is what separates the girls from the women. To choose not to violate Hashem's will as you go about pursuing these channels, these sibos, and that's going to determine schar va'onesh. Right? It doesn't matter. It's not relevant if it produced result or not. If you steal, you're not going to end up with money you're not supposed to have. But the Aveira is the act of stealing, the act of being dishonest, the act of cheating someone, the act of talking Lashon Hara. It might not produce the result because it's Hashem will, everything is totally in what Hashem was goes there. But, the punishment is for what you did. And the truth is, we're gonna learn in Perek Dalet that even the punishment is for what you were Yozain, for what you decided. It's even deeper and subtler than that, that you're not even punished for the action, because the action is again Hashem, because your body has to work. That miracle that you command your body to do something or not to do something, and it does and doesn't do, that's also Hashem. Chas v'shalom, a person has a stroke, nothing he can do. He could have all the best intentions in the world, and he can't do it, right? So, it's just a subtlety, it's a further subtlety and depth that really Bechira is all in the mind. It's not even in the actions. Here he's saying it's not in the result, because the result is Hashem. In Perek Dalet he says even deeper that the action is also Hashem, because Hashem has to make everything work or else it won't happen. And that's not Bechira. It's not your Bechira. I don't choose to make my body listen to my mind. I don't choose to the billions of electrical connections that happens with the brain and the body, the millions of right, it's that's Shara Bechina, right? Okay, but that's a further subtlety that's not relevant for now. That was reason number one. It's the playing field of Bechira. If someone steals and becomes rich, Hashem wanted him to become rich. He would have become rich. It's such a pity that he stole and he's going to burn. And if he doesn't do tshuva, he's going to be punished. And what's the pity? The pity is if he would have been honest, he would have been rich anyway. Because he was supposed to be rich. He wouldn't have, he didn't become rich because he stole. He became rich because he was supposed to be rich. So it's such a, it's like a shod, you know? It's a pity. He, look what he did with his life. I mean, we see people sometimes cheat and steal and they're rich. And you go, wow, that's, no, they didn't produce the wealth. Hashem always produces the wealth. It says in Gemara, and Gemara says, right, Hashem is gozer if this child is going to be rich or poor, smart or foolish, gibor or chalosh, osher, ani, that's all nigzar. That's not up to you. That's why it's like, it's a pity. It's a pity if you did it through your Bechira Bara, and that's the channel you created. Okay. Hashemi, so that's reason number one. It's the playing field of Bechira. Reason number two, Chavis Allah says, Bekitza, is that Hashem knows the nature of a person, because Hashem created a person. Right? He knows his nature better than anyone else. When you're on vacation and you have nothing to do, you fill up your time with shtuyot. No, people are like that. You got to keep busy. If you're not busy, you're going to get into trouble. Hasheni ki ilu lahutach adam l'truach v'lachzor v'sabi v'avos tirfo. If a person didn't have to deal with life, like I said, you sit home and you eat chocolates in bed, ha'yaboet v'rodef achar ha'averos. If he's not occupied, if he's not busy, if there's no Adam la'omol yulat, says the Chavis Halavas, you're going to get into trouble. That's the way it is. V'lo ha'yamashgiach ha'mashu chayiv bo al tovaso elokim alav. He wouldn't pay attention, he wouldn't be careful about what he owes Hashem because of all the good Hashem bestows upon him. Look how he subtly throws in his whole the yisod of Avodas Elokim. He just like throws it in there so that it seeps into your mind without you realizing it. He says, Al Mashahu Chayibo Al Tovaso Elokim Alav, which encapsulates the Chavis Halavas' view of our obligation to Hashem, that it's a thank you. Kamo Shenemar V'hoyo Kinor V'nevel Tov V'cholil V'yayin Mishtehem. This Paul Hashem Lo Yabitu, the most stark example of this, if you the Medrashim about the Dor HaMabul, that everything went well, everything was Gishmak, the seasons were great, everything grew, right? They had very little to do, and they got into trouble, and that's why there was a Mabul. And from then on, it's even more difficult. Odom got into trouble, and then, right? Kotz v'dardar, tatzmiach loch, b'zayas apecha toch alechem. But it wasn't so bad, and then the Dor HaMabul got into more trouble. This is experience on a national level and on a personal level. When things are going well, people tend to get into trouble. We think, if only I'd be rich, oh, would I be an Ovid Hashem? Oh, that would be so gishmak. I'd do nothing but get stuck a whole day, and I'd sit and learn a whole day, and I will do chesed a whole day. But it's not like that. And experience shows that by people, and it shows it for Klal Yisrael. You look at Shoftim. Anytime things are going well, boom, boom, back again the cycle. History as oppression, Hashem saw we couldn't take it anymore. I don't know, I'm speculating now. Hashem did not confide in me. But as Hashem saw, Klal Yisrael couldn't take any more what they underwent in Golus, so he started lightening the burden, right? From Napoleon and on, and the emancipation. Then America popped up with democracy. So the ghetto walls fell, and Hashem lightened up on the Jewish people. Everything was open to them. You know, they could have basically what developed is they couldn't do anything. They can go into any any parnosa, they could, look what happened. What happened is that 90% of the Jewish people became not frum. That's what happened. Assimilation and wholesale abandonment of Torah, reform. This is what happened, unfortunately, and that's why we have more freedom and more wealth than we ever had before, including the Golden Age of Spain, as it's called. The Golden Age of Spain is like a joke compared to what we have today. Just go in the supermarket and count how many kinds of potato chips there are. Kosher potato chips. I'm not even counting the treif ones. I'm counting the ones with a good heksha, mahadrin heksha, right? But look, that's quality. This is, who made that choice? Are we better off? I don't know. Hashem runs history. And the way I understand it is, we couldn't take it anymore. The Golos was just terrible. But then you have that happen, and then the Shoah happened, and Bezus Hashem, there's a turnaround where at least the graph is creeping up. It's nowhere, unfortunately, sadly, the overwhelming majority of people are still not from, very sadly, but at least the graph is like slightly creeping up in the aftermath of World War II. What the future holds, we don't know. We do our best, and we try to be Makarov people, etc. But it certainly has been borne out that oppression, the Gemara says it, I mean, you can't argue with Chazal, oppression is good for the soul. It's good for us. The Gemara compares it to olives. You squeeze it, you press it, and they produce fine shemen. And if you don't, okay. Anyway, that's what he's saying. That's why you have to do hishtadlus on a very, very personal level. This is why I have to struggle to earn a... He's not even talking about struggling. He's talking about doing things. This is why I have to do things. Hashem wants me to do hishtadlus, as we call it, in order that I should keep busy. That's reason number two. V'omer zuchonam levracha yofa talmud torah derecheres yegia shnei amashkachas ovon. This is Chazal. You can't argue with Chazal. You can't argue with the Metzius. The anomaly of a person, of so many people in the frum part of the world, learning and kolel, either they steal or the wife's working. Somebody has to work. Except if the father-in-law supports them, so then he has to either steal or work. Somebody has to work. The money doesn't come down from Shemayim anymore. That's what the Chag of Lovers are saying. Somebody has to work. Or in the flow of history again, so Rishnir with Beis Yaakov, and then everybody, and then the Shoah, and then everybody, people, we had to rebuild Torah. So it came together. Inspiration of women that they're willing to have their husbands learn, and they will take on the burden of Parnassa, unlike what the Ksuba says, not ignoring the Ksuba, but they do it willingly. No one's forcing them to do it. They're inspired by the Beis Yaakov movement. So, like, look how it happened. Because the Beis Yaakov movement was before the Holocaust, right? But it happened like then, and then Hashem like put it all together. And Lechora, that's what happened in history. And Rabbi Aaron Kotler, and Chazon Ish, and Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Aaron Kotler in America. I say Rabbi Aaron Kotler, not Rabbi Moshe, because Rabbi Aaron was responsible for the growth of Torah and yeshivas. The seed he planted is like, and Chazon Ish here did what he did, and so everything is from that. So that's how it happened. So, but somebody has to work. You can't fight Chazal. Chazal say, you know, she agiya shnei mashkachasov v'chol torah sheni mamalocha sofa b'teila. It's just, so the women are working. that's how it's happened. Somebody has to work. There's no such thing as, unless you're dishonest, and unfortunately this happens sometimes, unless you're dishonest, and v'choshke mi shen lo chelek b'echod mehem, v'lo soma libo al echod mayhem. V'hoyu mechem l'sabori yusale, so Hashem keeps us busy. Shehitrido be'inyone olomo v'achriso l'sase kol yimechaya b'zeh. You have to work. Yeah, you have to work and you have to earn. You can't stop. You're busy. Hopefully it'll lower his desires for more things, because he has to work harder.
Okay,
hopefully. Doesn't always work that way. Now we're back to Bechira. You have to work. So, these are the two reasons for the need for hishtadlus. Again, you have to understand the sharpness of the question. It's an illusion. We're just going through the motions. We're not producing the result. Why does Hashem? But Hashem insists we do it. And if you don't do it, you're violating the will of Hashem. It's not one of the 248 mitzvahs, maybe. Probably not, but it's in the larger picture, that's what how Hashem wants the world to run, and you're not doing it. And there's going to be, whenever you don't do the will of Hashem, there's consequences. But why? So he says two reasons why. Since it's an illusion, so he says two reasons why. Now he says, now this is the flow of the next part of the Chayvus Halavos, which really is a segue away from Bitachon. Bitachon, Hishtadlus, and he gave two reasons for Hishtadlus. He's now going to say that, therefore, logically, the more tzaddik a person is, the more of an oved the person is, the more his bechira is, you know, in a good place, he's coming from a good place, or the less chance there is that he'll get into trouble. Now, it could be that's very theoretical. And al tamin ba'atzmucha yo moscha, we always have that. But the Chagalovas is speculating that a person could steig and grow, and there's less and less chance that he'll be bocher bara, and there's less and less chance that he'll get into trouble. So he says, therefore, that person's need for hishtadlus will lessen and lessen, will be less and less. And this is a theme that the Rishonim talk about. They talk about a tzaddik, you know, there's a spectrum. I think I learned this through the Ramban and Eov. There is a spectrum, and the more of a tzaddik and a righteous person a person is, he can rely on bitachon more and more and have less and less ishtadlus. So when you learn the Ramban, you learn, oh, because he's a big tzaddik, so Hashem rewards him for the bitachon, and it works. But according to the Chavis HaLovis, it's more mechanical than that. It's like there's a mechanics to it, that the reasons for hishtadlus fade away. So that's what it should be logically. But then he says, but the reality is not like that. We see that the biggest of tzaddikim have to struggle in life. So, like, what's happening? I just told you something extremely logical. So what's happening? And then he makes a complete segue and he starts talking about tzaddik v'ralo and Rosh HaMetovlo. Because you see, that was the setup he made. He made the setup that the need for hishtadlus is bechira, or getting into trouble. Therefore, it follows logically that the bigger tzaddik you are, the more you grow and become closer to Hashem, the less hishtadlus you need. Again, this is a theme that many Rishonim say, to the point that the Ramban says, like, the greatest tzaddik couldn't even expect nisim. The Ramban says in Eov, like, that's how the spectrum goes. He could even expect nisim, like, no hishtadlus, and even nisim he could expect. Shelo b'derech hateva nisim, like nisim gluyim. Like, but, and again, in the Chayvus HaLovis gives us, it's more mechanical, like, it's more logical, like, we see the reasons in front of us, because you don't have the two reasons that are the reasons for hishtadlus. But the reality is not like that, so what's the pshat? And then he goes off on a tangent completely, and he talks about tzaddik v'ralo and Rosh HaMetovlo, but what he really is saying is that if a tzaddik has to struggle with life, and you're doing your best, and who can say they're a tzaddik, but even if but you're still struggling with life, and you have tzaras, and you have to deal with this issue and that issue, that is all tzaddik v'ralo. It shouldn't be that way, logically. And then we have to get into the philosophical question of tzaddik v'ralo and start looking up the answers to tzaddik v'ralo. So it's not, it's now philosophy. I don't see how it's lemaisa in our lives. What's lemaisa in our lives is to recognize that hishtadlus is the need to do hishtadlus. Logically, this, and he says it and elaborates on it and explains it in Perek Dalet, this precludes doing too much hishtadlus, because your hishtadlus is not producing the result. So it's like a waste of time to do more. Again, a person decides to become a doctor in order to be rich, that's, Chagalovus says, silly. You're either going to be rich or you're not going to be rich. You think you're going to be rich, they're going to pass Obamacare, and you're not going to be rich, right? Or you're going to work for Mu'uchedet, and you're not going to be rich. So why would a person decide to become a doctor, not to be rich? He'll explain how you pick a parnosa at the end of the perek. What criteria you use to pick parnosa. Since it's all just ishtadlus, and it's all just a channel, so I decide I want to stack shelves in the supermarket. That's what I want to do. And if I'm supposed to be rich, I'm going to be rich. And you will. You will. And the way you decide what to do is not by, this is what the Chavis Lubavitch holds, people don't like to hear this, is not by sitting down with a job counselor or whatever it's called, a job, guidance counselor, I don't know, whatever it's called, and they figure out the statistics of earnings. Right, and by the time you're ready to do it, it's on the bottom of the list, not on top of the list, because everybody ran to do that. Everybody ran to be OTs, and now the market is glutted, and you can't even find a job. That's my daughter. Baruch Hashem, she found a job. Or a speech therapist. Whatever it is, that should not be the reason. You have to sit down, and the reasons he gives at the end of the parak, we'll get up to there. Right now, he's going to do a segue into philosophy. Because he says, again, this is the line of logic. Hishtadlus is an illusion. You do it. Why did Hashem want us to spend so much of our lives doing something illusory? Answer, he gives two reasons. And now he says, v'mu magre avodas alokim, so then logically, if you're strong in your avodas Hashem, ubocher b'yirasu, ubateach bo b'nyono tarosu v'olamu, v'sor min advorim hamagunim, you don't do evil, you're bocher b'tov, v'kosef, and you desire is l'midos hatovos, l'yivat b'menucha, and when you have menucha, you use it correctly, you have a day off, you use it correctly. You don't do things you shouldn't be doing. V'lo yata ashalvam, v'lo yasiyu ayetzer, yetzer does not get the better of him, below Yifet, if it doesn't get seduced. The Kishvei Ha'olam, Yistalek Me'olav Torech HaGilgul Vasibah V'Ostirul. So logically, he should and would lessen the amount of Ishtadlus he has to do, because the reasons are lessened. Now, I don't fully understand this, because we always have Bechira. Like, even if a person grows, so the more you grow, there's no end to how much you could grow in your avodas Hashem. So even if you never batuach al tamim batzchad yom moscha. So I don't know, but that's, I don't know. So I'm not sure how this would kick in. That you're so, but that's what he says. He says the less the reasons seemingly apply to you, then the less hishtadlus you would need. Because it's not producing the result anyway. It's just a means of testing you, or a means of keeping you busy, and if you have no need, the less of a reason you need to be tested, then the less chance there is you'll get into trouble, so the less hishtadlus you need. Because we're removing or lessening these two reasons for doing what you have to do, what we call ishtadlus. Habechina, that's bechira, v'abeita betova, and v'yishman yeshurin v'yivot, v'yivu'eyu tirfo b'li torach u'b'li yagiyah. So logically he should now have his parnosa, again that's the That's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu uses more than anything else for Olam Hazeh. So all the gzeiros of Hashem, it could be Oni, Ashir, it could be Chacham, Tipesh, it could be Gibor, Cholosh, it could be healthy, not healthy. Fisipuka umazono kumashikosav lo yarav Hashem nefes tzadik. That's the way it should be logically. The im yomar omer. But if somebody says, wait a second, I don't get it. First of all, again, I am saying I don't even understand what the case is. Like a person, the more you do, you can always serve Hashem more, and like there's so many madregas, and it just gets harder. Like I finally have kavana in my davening, you know, three times a day. Let's say we reach that madrega, two times a day or three times a day. But we think we're on top of the world when we have Pirush Hamilos. There's so much depth to tefillah. You can have so much more kavana because there's so much depth to tefillah. Take out any sefer on tefillah, and there's so much more than just Pirush Hamilos. We're so happy with Pirush Hamilos that we're like, we think we're at the apex of davening. We've started davening when you know Pirush Hamilos. Then there's the whole depth of what the words say and imply and teach. Or you do actions. I don't know. But anyway, at least theoretically it's possible, I guess. Chacham Lubavitch says it, that Hashem looks at a person and says, again, it says in Pirkei Avos, Al Tamin Ba'atzma Bad Yom Moscha, so you always have nisyonos, and you always have bechira, and you always have to be careful. Okay, maybe, but maybe the opportunities are less, the chances are less, and you have less need for hishtadlus. You don't have to always, Hashem doesn't have to keep testing you on the playing field of hishtadlus, and he doesn't have to worry that you'll go off the derech if you have too much spare time on your hands. V'myomar ha'omer, but what the Chavis HaLavis is bothered by is that it doesn't mesh with reality. Hine anachnu roa mitzvah sadikim lo yizdami lehen tirpa melach rehomo vayagia v'rabim anshe ha'averos b'shalva v'chayeyim b'tovanimim. We see tzadikim that have a very, very tough life, and rishoyim that have a very wonderful life, or seemingly wonderful life. So first of all, if you notice, the Chavis HaLavis says mitzvah sadikim. It's people say tzadik v'ralo rosh v'tovlo. Truth is, it's not as common as you think. Remember, tzadik is sameach b'chelko. The tzadik doesn't miss what we would be missing. So you say, oh, he can't even afford this, and he can't have this, and look at his troubles, and he has to deal with this. He's not tzadik. He's living in a different world, and he doesn't even. It's not Rallo. We think it's Rallo because we're looking from our perspective. So that's why he says, Mitzvah Sadikim. It's really, if you would say, but Victor Miller's Atzal points out, and really it's, Chavis HaLavis says it, in Shar HaBechina, at the end of Shar HaBechina, we think of Golos as a very miserable existence for the Jewish people. And it was a miserable existence if you think of the Beis HaMikdash and being in Eretz Yisrael. But by and large, overwhelmingly, they had a much higher standard of living than the surrounding Goyim, and they had good family life, they were literate, they earned Parnosa, in general. I'll tell you, it went down steeply after emancipation. Went down. But in general, if you look at the totality of Golos, then things always came to an end, and then it went downhill, and then they got thrown out of England and France and Spain and everywhere. But in general, you didn't have Polish people that had Jewish maids. The Jews had Polish maids. The Polish didn't have Jewish maids. Imagine, they didn't come home drunk. And that family life, except for the women, were literate. they had a well-balanced existence. They enjoyed life. The Goyim were miserable. They were sick. The Jews were sanitary because we're always washing our hands and we're always careful about food, leftovers. So it's really mixas. you know, you think Tzadik Varalo is the norm. It's really not the norm. The Tzadik has a very Sumeach Bechelko, and he appreciates everything he has, and he doesn't think it's Ralo. But Mitzvah Tzadikim are Ralo. Sometimes it's undeniable. And then he says Varabim, and he doesn't say Mitzvah anymore. Rosh Avotovlo is a much more common reality that we see people who, and they seem to be on the top of the world. They have this. A lot of them have miserable lives, right? They don't have any family life. They're meshubah to their work. But al kaponim, that's what he's asking. He's making this issue of hishtadlus and the need for hishtadlus and the logic that a tzaddik, the more of a tzaddik a person is, the less hishtadlus he should need. Logically, and then, but it's not like that, the reality, and he turns that into a cosmic question of Tzadik Viralo and Rosh Avotovlo. It shouldn't be that way. Why is it that way? Notice he brought us up to this point, and now he's completely segueing out of Bitachon, and he's going to discuss Tzadik Viralo and Rosh Avotovlo to answer his question. If I just gave you the reasons for Hishtadlus, so then logically this should follow, but many times the reality, or sometimes, or many times, is not the reality. Nomar, so the first thing I want you to know, says the Chavis Halavis, is that you didn't think of the question. You know, sometimes someone comes to you and say, oh man, how could this be? Like a, oh, really? Like, you think you just thought of that question? Like, nobody thought of that question for 2,000 years. You're the first person to think of the question. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know why Rosh Avotovlo and Tzadik Viralo. It's not a new question. You didn't think, you're not that smart. You didn't think of a question that nobody ever had before. Ki kvar kodmu hanavim v'chasidim lachar al zeho inyan. Mehem bisha omar madua derech Rishom solcha. Why is Rishom successful? Why are Rishom successful? V'omah ha'acher in Chavakok. Lomu tereini oven v'omol tabet v'shod v'chomos l'negdi. V'yiriv v'modun yisov v'omar ki rosh ha'machter v'satzadik. V'omar tachrish b'bloa rosh ha'tzadik mimenu. V'omar acher in ha'erul Rishom v'shalvei olam hisku choyel. V'omar achrak zekisu v'vavi. For nothing, I'm suffering. You didn't think of the question. It's an old, old question. Ach, but we don't have an answer. The Nevi'im ask the question, they don't give an answer. And the Chazal is going to say, because there's no one size fits all. I don't have an answer for you that's going to cover all the cases. And that's why the Nevi'im didn't answer it. Because there's no, every case is different. So he will, Chagavavos will now list 6 or 7 possible reasons for Tzadik Viralo, 6 or 7 possible reasons for Rosh Avotovlo. And he says, you know, this is what I'm presenting to you. I don't have the answer lies within these reasons. The Nevi'im didn't give an answer because because every Rosha and every Tzaddik might have a different answer. So the Nevi'im just left it as a question. It's one of the Nisyonos of life. People who seem to be very, very good people. Really good people. Balei Chesed, Balei Avoda. And they have it rough. They just have it rough. Who had it rougher than David HaMelech, right? Nobody had a. The Chabad Halal says at the end of Perek Bey, at the end of Perek Bey, he said, like, no one can hold a candle for David HaMelech for having a rough life. Right? And that's how it is sometimes. And, the answer is a history, but he gives us 5 or 6 or 7 suggestions for each. And, it is an Asayan of Emunah. You know, I'm not talking, sometimes it's on a very personal level, or a small scale level, whether it's sickness or relationships or family life or whatever, and sometimes it's on a cosmic level like the Shoah, where so many tzaddikim got killed. And, you know, how bad could we be? We're certainly way ahead of the goyim, but it only happened to us. So, like, what's going on? Sort of, you know. Okay, we'll stop here.